Good morning, Green Bay Packer fans. It is March 1st, 2011, and you're listening to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Today, we're going to be talking about the NFL Combine. We're going to be talking about news in the Packers universe today. A little bit of information coming out of the Combine as far as the Packers go. Desmond Bishop's going to be a topic of conversation today. And we're going to be taking your calls a little bit later. But for the moment being, let's get right down to it. If you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, your comments will get through to the show, will get through to our blog, or feel free to use our Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. You can use that as well. Or if you want to just comment today, your comments are being approved as we speak. So nice little development. We got Alex Telich of the Packers Lounge checking in, being our producer today. At the top of the blog, there's a link to today's Packers Daily Links. If you want to follow along with the news of the day, looks a little something like this for those of you who are watching the show live. Today's top story for the Packers. Head coach Mike McCarthy values a good backup quarterback like Matt Flynn probably even more so than a high-round draft choice. So, little Matt Flynn talk today to kick things off. If you click the link, it'll take you to an article over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Article by Bob McGinn. And Mr. McGinn finds out that the Packers pretty much want Matt Flynn. It's going to take quite a bit to trade him. If you read the quote here from head coach Mike McCarthy, he says, quote, "That's exactly right. I'm not letting him go. I think the value of that number two quarterback position went way up." And Bob McGinn's take on the situation is as follows. Quote, "The Green Bay Packers have won one National Football League championship and will be gunning for others in the next few years and appear to want a player rated as possibly the National Football League's finest backup, more than a high draft choice they could obtain in a trade." So, you know, McGinn goes on to say that, you know, pretty much anything short of a first-round draft choice, the Packers are keeping Matt Flynn. Now, should a first-round draft choice be offered? They'd have to think, you know, long and hard about it then. Will any teams be willing to give a first-round draft choice for Matt Flynn? Hard to say. I mean, he's still really unproven. Yeah, I mean, everybody points to his game against the New England Patriots this year and basically being a play away from beating them with the team with the best record in the NFL on the road. And that was certainly impressive. But other than that, there's really little to go off of. He played a half of football in Detroit, the game before New England. But other than that, there's really not much film on Matt Flynn. You know, he doesn't have a lot of experience, but he has shown potential. And I suppose teams can look at it and say, hey, you know, if you're one of those teams in the NFL that needs a quarterback, whether it be the Minnesota Vikings, which I definitely think the Packers wouldn't trade to them in any case within the division. I mean, who are you looking at? You're looking at the Cincinnati Bengals, the Arizona Cardinals, teams like that that need a quarterback. I mean, you can go ahead and you can draft a first-round quarterback. You're getting a rookie who's probably not ready, and you don't know how good that rookie's going to be either. So, you know, there's that to weigh when you need a quarterback in the NFL. Now, the Packers, they seem very content with Matt Flynn. Mike McCarthy brought up in his conversation that the requirements for concussions could be getting even stricter in seasons to come in the future, and they have a player in Aaron Rodgers who has concussion, a background of concussions. So they have to weigh that as well, and that's what makes a player like Matt Flynn even more valuable. And if I haven't had a chance here to check out comments on the live blog, and I'll start checking them out here right now. Jamie Lee comments, "It was impressive, but I can't see anyone willing to give up a first-round pick for him. Packers almost won that game, but Flynn also looked raw and young." And she also has a question, "How would that trade work? Without the CBA, there's no player trades during the draft, right? So we'd either have to make the trade before Friday or for next year's draft." And you got it half right there, Jamie. No trades can be made before Friday. There was the trading deadline in the NFL, and that means no trades made after that point until the league year ends. Now, the league year ends on, what is it, Thursday? Or is it Friday midnight? I forget the exact moment it ends. But, if there's a collective bargaining agreement, they can start making trades the first day of the league year. If all of a sudden, by some miracle, the NFL and the players' union agree to a new CBA, then trades could be made immediately. But I suppose this is all talk in hopes that something gets done before the draft, and that's possible. It's possible that something could be done before then. That would be the only case in which the Packers could trade Matt Flynn, or anybody for that matter. A CBA would have to get done before the draft. If not, if it's after the draft, then you're looking at getting compensation a year down the road. A first-round draft pick in 2012. And, while a first-round draft pick is a first-round draft pick, that's delayed compensation. That's a year down the road. That doesn't help the Packers any this current year. And I really do think that's motivation for both the NFL, primarily for the NFL, in getting a deal done before the draft and striking a new CBA. They're going to want to have the flexibility to make trades before the draft and during the draft. We've talked about this before. During the draft, they can make pick-for-pick trades. I'll give you a second and a third for a first or something like, along those lines. But no players involved. No players involved at all. So, David comments, "People forget that Flynn looked pretty bad in the Detroit game." The Detroit game. Difficult circumstances. Aaron Rodgers goes out. Packers are down. They're not playing well against Detroit. Matt Flynn can't get it done. Of course, he looks better the next week. But, I wouldn't say he looked bad, but pedestrian, average, status quo. He doesn't look like the franchise quarterback in that Detroit game. So, there's that to weigh as well. So, I find it hard that the team would give up a first-round draft choice for Matt Flynn. That's just a lot to invest in a guy that's kind of an unknown. With a guy like Kevin Cobb, who's also being thrown around as a quarterback here in the NFL, who could fetch a first-round draft choice in return. I think Kevin Cobb has a little more film on him than a Matt Flynn. And, Kevin Cobb was a high-round draft choice to begin with. There is obvious talent there and a little more experience. So, I think he's probably a target, the first one, before Matt Flynn. Somebody's going to get him probably, whether it be before the draft or after the draft. So, David comments, I'm just saying we need to put it in perspective. I just think people are overvaluing him based on one good game. Perhaps. You know, I think people just see this as an eventuality as well. I mean, how long can you keep Matt Flynn? He's only under contract for one more season. And after that, it's, you know, if he wants to start in the NFL, he knows he's going to have to get out of Green Bay. You know, I think people just see, you know, the Packers, you know, getting something for him in return as regard to getting nothing for him if he just leaves via free agency. But as we say many, as I've said many, many times, you know, they eventually do get those compensation draft choices, which those are delayed compensation too, a year down the road. But, you know, it's possible under the current CBA rules that Matt Flynn would get you as high as a third-round draft choice in return for losing him via free agency if you lose other free agents as well. A lot plays into that, and it's a very complicated issue. But anyway, moving on. There's other stories to get to today. A couple very, very interesting ones. We're going back to today's Daily Links in a link right here talking about the kick return game and return specialists. Mike McCarthy's taken the blame for not having a good kick returner. Bob McGinn talks about in his article how, you know, the Packers, they really shy away from small players almost at every position. But especially, you know, the speed positions, you know, wide receiver, corners, defensive backs, running backs, things like that. They don't get those small, quick guys. They avoid them. They don't want them. And Mike McCarthy, you know, is acknowledging, hey, you know, it's my fault. If, you know, we have to get one of these guys, and, you know, it would be important for me to incorporate them, you know, more than just a kick returner. Let's get the ball in their hands of, you know, a jitterbug type of guy, but, you know, a good jitterbug. Not a guy who's just going to dance and get hit in the backfield or something like that. A guy who has legitimate fast speed. And he says, quote, Mike McCarthy said this, "That's something where I've probably got to be more creative. If a guy can be a good returner, we've got to get we got to have packages for him on offense too." Interesting, he does say offense. He didn't say defense. I don't know if that assumes a return specialist has to be an offensive player. Interesting to read between the lines a little bit there. I mean, they use Sam Shields and Pat Lee there. I mean, nothing in the past says that it has to be an offensive player who's going to be your kick return specialist. You know, this goes back, I think, to really Ron Wolf days, and the Packers drafted Terrell Buckley. And Terrell Buckley, as everybody knows, T-Buck, small, diminutive player. I mean, the hope was that he would be a Deion Sanders, a small guy, but ultra-talented and, you know, kind of guy who's going to pick off passes, but, you know, isn't going to offer you anything in the run game. But, you know, I think the Packers found out that, you know, you draft a guy like Terrell Buckley from a warm weather climate like Florida State, and these guys are not prepared for Green Bay football. The cold weather, you know, they're just thinking more about the cold than they are about making plays and things like that. And I really think, you know, that's kind of where it started with Ron Wolf and has been passed down. And as you can see, it's still something that Ted Thompson, you know, adheres to as well. So whether the Packers change that, I don't know. You know, they, of course, they had Desmond Howard. You know, Desmond Howard is not a big guy. He's a small guy, but he was from Michigan. You know, he went to college in that cold weather. He had gotten used to it. So, I mean, maybe that's something you look for as well. You look for Big Ten guys, or it doesn't have to be a Big Ten, but Midwest guys you know, fast guys out of the Midwest that you know are used to the cold weather, and you know they're not the Sunshine State guys. We will see. It's hard to say, but we will see as time goes on here. Mr. comments, Sam Shields was supposed to be that guy last year, though, right? He ended up being an amazing corner, so he was mostly doing that. I see the comparisons drawn to Sam Shields and Terrell Buckley and that they're both from Florida, but Sam Shields isn't small. You know, he's not a 5'8 guy. You know, he's 5'11, and, you know, he showed that basically he's probably not a kick returner, though. You know, he's going to be a cover corner, probably not going to be a guy who's ever going to line up over the slot. You know, he's going to line up on the outside guys, you know, the wide receivers, the exterior. So I suppose that's the difference between a Sam Shields and a Terrell Buckley. So not a guy who's going to dance around, as Jamie Lee comments, taught her how to yell run upfield. Yeah, T-Buck, that was a failed experiment. But also in the same article here by Bob McGinn, I didn't put in today's Packers Daily Links because Aaron Nagler, colleague here on Cheesehead TV, had mentioned it earlier in a post all of its own. Mike McCarthy says Desmond Bishop is one of the starting outside linebackers for the Green Bay Packers this year. No matter what happens to A.J. Hawk, Nick Barnett, or Brandon Chiller for that matter, Desmond Bishop is going to be one of the starting linebackers this year. So, I mean, for that, you know, pronouncement to come here in what is now March 1st, story was published actually yesterday in February, last day of February. I said this on Twitter yesterday. Yesterday was the last day of winter for me. when the calendar turns March, I am done with winter. I'm looking out my window as we speak. I still see the snow on the ground. I hope it's warm enough to melt it all away. You know, you look at calendars, and to me it seems like, you know, there's all these official days of, you know, when summer starts, spring, fall, winter, and, you know, spring technically doesn't start till, what, late March? I think that's ridiculous. I know it all has to do with the solstices and things like that, but, you know, for me, it basically goes by months. I mean, spring is March 1 to Memorial Day. Summer for me is Memorial Day to Labor Day. Fall is Labor Day to the end of November. And winter is, you know, pretty much the first day of December through the last day of February. That's my calendar. I know I'm getting off the topic of Packers here for a second, but getting inside my brain is a awkward thing. Where were we? I digress. Desmond Bishop. Packers go and sign Desmond Bishop to a nice contract. Very, very nice for the Packers. I mean, what was the contract? It was 4 years, $19 million. And think about that for a second. Desmond Bishop just signed a four-year, $19 million contract. A.J. Hawk is scheduled to make $10 million alone this season. Scheduled, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with A.J. Hawk, and that's a topic of conversation here for a minute down the road. But yeah, very interesting to see, you know, Mike McCarthy come right out and say, he's a starter. We have no clue what's going to happen right now with Hawk or Burnett, but Desmond Bishop is a story. is a starter. That, and that's the story. And again, also in this article by Bob McGinn, it, you know, the kind of his notebook section, he's touching on all these topics here as well. And he talks about the future of some of the offensive linemen. Talks about Darren College and Mike McCarthy really just kind of, you know, avoided the top. Not that he avoided it, but said, you know, he doesn't know what's going to happen with Darren College. You know, he could leave as a free agent, he could come back. So I think they've, you know, they said on the record they want him to come back. McCarthy has, at least. I'm not sure if Thompson has. But McCarthy would welcome him back, said they welcome back all their free agents. And but, you know, who's going to replace him? And the name Nick McDonald comes up. You know, Nick McDonald will at least be given a shot to win a job next year. T.J. Lang's going to be in the mix. Marshall Newhouse will probably be in the mix. So it'll be interesting. And just one more thing here, Mark Tauscher, the topic of Mark Tauscher here as well. We could see here within not too long a retirement from Mark Tauscher being announced, even as fast as the next couple days. Not to say that that's a given, but I mean, here's a guy who doesn't look like he's going to be back next year. The Packers are probably set at their tackle positions with Chad Clifton on the left side and Brian Bulaga on the right side. And even if they get hurt, you've got T.J. Lang as a backup. You've got anybody you draft coming this year. You've got Marshall Newhouse. There are options. There are options. So, you know, it, very quickly, very shortly, could see Mark Tauscher retire, possibly. And you have to think that's the option. I mean, can anybody see the Packers cutting Tauscher? Does anybody out there think that Mark Tauscher wants to be, you know, still play in the NFL? You know, is Mark Tauscher going to be adamant, I can still play? I mean, either the Packers would have to honor that, you know, let him come back into camp for, you know, his contract of several million dollars. Or they'd have to cut him and let him take his chances somewhere else. You know, I just think that it's going to come down to retirement. I just see is that that is the most likely option rather than being cut or coming back. So this could play out very shortly. Stay tuned for that possible scenario. Elsewhere in today's Packers Daily Links, third story down is about A.J. Hawk. We touched on him just a couple moments ago when we were talking about Desmond Bishop. But Kevin Seifert of ESPN.com, the NFC North blogger, picks up the topic. And here it is over at ESPN. And he writes, quote, under normal circumstances, the Packers would need to resolve the issue before Friday, but the expiring CBA could relax that deadline because the league year won't start Friday without an agreement. The Packers at some point must act on Hawk's contract to avoid guaranteeing him an eight-figure salary for 2011, be it a release or an agreement to extend the deal and spread out the cash payout. You know, would this be any normal year? The Packers would have to make a choice before Friday. They would have to honor the contract. They would have to cut him. Or they'd have to restructure it all before Friday. But with the league year expiring, there is no day of the first league year, and he wouldn't be guaranteed that money. So it's hard to say when this will come about. And I know Greg Rosenthal of Pro Football Talk said it the best. if just nothing happens, that could be an indication that when they do agree to a new CBA, there will be some sort of grace period in which teams have, you know, say a week to figure this out. But I mean, if that isn't the case, if there is no grace period, then the Packers do have to do something before Friday with A.J. Hawk. One of these options is going to come to fruition. Cut him, restructure him, or honor it. I suppose honoring it, if that is the case, you wouldn't know that until they do strike a new CBA anyway. So we just don't know. We're not going to find out anytime soon. So taking a look at some of the comments here on the live blog, I'm a little bit behind here. Going back to the Tauscher topic conversation here, Mr. Comments. He's scheduled $4.1 million this year, according to Roto-World. I'm guessing he'll retire before being cut. There's no market for him anymore. Packer T comments, if Tauscher comes back, he will get beat out. Does he want to be a backup? And you can add another question on that. Do the Packers want to pay him $4.1 million to be a backup? I don't think so. That's a lot of money for a backup. And you go back to the Bob McGinn article, and I suggest everybody go read those articles by Bob McGinn. The Packers are in a situation to cut salary this year. They have the second highest payroll in the NFL on tap for 2011. Second highest in the NFL. Isn't that so hard to believe? Who thinks of the Packers as being a high-spending team? Only the Dallas Cowboys ahead of them. Nobody thinks that. But they were this year and scheduled to be in 2011. Highest payroll. Not the highest. One of the highest. Second highest. That's amazing. So the Packers have to cut payroll somewhere. And it's going to start with Mark Tauscher, because there's no spot for him. There is no spot for Mark Tauscher. Nagoya Packerbacker comments, Earl Dotson accepted a backup position with a minimum salary in around 2002. Wow. Nagoya Packerbacker bringing the blast from the past here. Earl Dotson. Would Mark Tauscher agree to come back for a minimum salary? That's an even more complicated question. The Packers would have to cut him first, and then he'd have to agree to restructure again. You know, if you do, I just can't see it happening, because even if Tauscher would agree to that, and he could, I mean, maybe he wants to be a part of things again and would come back for a minimum salary. But I mean, if the Packers do that, they are then saying, we're going to keep Mark Tauscher at the expense of developing some younger player, at the expense of keeping a Nick McDonald off the roster. Not to say it's going to be Nick McDonald, but somebody, you know, it's a roster spot. I can't see it happening, but that's an interesting concept and is a possibility. My instincts say no, but that's just me. Mr. Comments, I don't expect Hawk's contract to be honored, but he is valued by the team and its players. He was voted playoff captain after all. No, I don't expect it to be honored either. I expect there to be a restructuring of Hawk's contract at some point, whether it's in the next 3 days or it is, you know, some point before the start of the next season, whenever that is. Packer T comments, do they want to pay college a whole bunch of money if Lang beats him out? You know, I suppose, yeah, you have to imagine if the Packers bring back Darren College, he's going to be the starter. or you structure the contract in such a way as if you cut him, then you don't lose that much money. And I don't think college would accept that type of contract. He's going to want to get guaranteed money. And on top of that, I suppose the Packers could trade him as well, but how often does a team sign a player that season and trade him the same season? It just, that's a pretty rare concept. It could happen, but perhaps not likely to happen. David says a lot of front-loaded contracts set up well for the future, and that certainly is the case. The Packers did do a good job front-loading their contracts, so there's room in later seasons. That doesn't, you know, get rid of the fact that the Packers have to do something now, though. They still have a lot of money in the books for this current season. It's 8:32, folks. I'm past my break time here, so give me a second here. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to finally talk about the NFL Combine. It's on right now as we speak on the NFL Network, if I'm correct. So while I'm going to break, go ahead and check that out.
This is James Jones, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Thanks for coming back, everyone. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday morning here on Cheesehead TV, watching Railbird Central or listening to it on our podcasted version. If anybody who's listening out there live doesn't subscribe to our podcast, please go to iTunes and do so right now. I'm Brian Kirvu, your host, and you know, it's time to talk about the NFL Combine. That's what's going on in the NFL right now. Today's the last day of the Combine. Of course, I was there this past weekend. I was there from Thursday through Sunday. Media availability ends Sunday. So, you know, these past 2 days, there's been no media in Indianapolis, with the exception of the NFL's owned NFL Network, and maybe Sirius NFL Radio is still there as well. But other than that, all the media is gone, but the players are still there. Today, the defensive backs are working out corners and safeties, and they're wrapping things up with their workouts today, their drills, the 40-yard dash, the bench press, the you know, three-cone drill, shuttle, vertical jump, horizontal jump, all those sorts of things, getting wrapping up today in Indy, and great time. And you know, what I'm going to do here, if you want, I'm going to open up the phone lines, throw the phone number up on the screen. Anything you want to talk about, any players you saw in Indianapolis, any prospects, the phone number is area code 646-797-2909. You want to talk about the NFL draft, you know, the guys who've impressed you at the Combine. Whether it be on the field, there's been some impressive 40 times, 40-yard dash, impressive bench press. Who'd that come from? The Stephen Paya of Oregon State, the defensive tackle, setting the record in the bench press yesterday? I believe it was yesterday. Was it 2 days ago? I think it was yesterday. What was it, 49 reps on the 225-pound bench press? That's amazing. He broke the record by like 4 reps, I think, or something like that. The record was 45. He did 49. He said he was shooting for 50, wanted to do 50, but just couldn't get that last one up. That was impressive, though. That guy is strong. And if I'm correct, he injured himself in the Senior Bowl or something. That's all he did was the bench, you know. So he's still not even at 100%. Not that would really affect his bench press. I think it's something to do with a knee, perhaps. But anyhow, just I thought that was great. And hey, if you want to call in and talk about some of these guys we're seeing on TV, and what you think the Packers might do in the draft, where you think they should go, guys you like. Again, folks, call in if you want, and we can talk about that. And while we're waiting here, I have a soundbite from Mark Herzlick, linebacker from Boston College, soundbite from his press conference. Everybody knows the backstory by Mark Herzlick by now. Overcame cancer, didn't play at all in 2009. In 2008, fantastic linebacker from Boston College, just a tackling machine, making plays all over the field, and didn't play in 2009. Had cancer and made a full recovery. Came back, played 2010. You know, some say he wasn't quite the player he was before that, but still had a nice season for Boston College. Very nice year, and now he's heading into the NFL. And I had the chance to ask Mark Herzlick about his last year at BC, 2008, when he played right behind B.J. Raji. And also another guy who's in the NFL right now, Ron Brace, defensive tackle. Both of them just mammoth guys. Brace even bigger than Raji, and Raji's a big guy. But I had the chance to ask Mark Herzlick about it, and he's pretty funny. You just listen to what he said.
How did B.J. Raji do keeping blockers off of you in college, and are you surprised to see the success he's gone to in the pros?
Well, I don't think I got touched one time in 2008, which, you know, helped me get there. You know, BJ, we had BJ and Ron. I don't think you can find two bigger men in one room. And so BJ, obviously, with what he's doing now, you know, I question some of his dance moves because, you know, he was my roommate for a year, and I've seen him do. He's a pretty good dancer, but, you know, he didn't show it on the field. But, no, I'm not surprised with how he's doing. He's got, you know, great ability. I think that, you know, if you ask A.J. Hawk or Clay Matthews if they like having him on the team, I'm sure they'd probably agree with you.
So that's Mark Herzlick of Boston College. So making fun of his old teammate B.J. Raji and his dance moves. Of course, you know, that's in reference to the NFC Championship game, the game in which the Packers beat the Bears at Soldier Field when Raji stepped back on his own blitz and intercepted Caleb Haney for a touchdown, a pick six for the big man. And, you know, he did the Raji, kind of almost this hula hoop type of move. I don't know what you want to call it, but that was talking to Mark Herzlick, just, I mean, to get an answer like that, he just is a fantastic guy. A guy he's Packer people, as the term is, you know, a type of guy who's good on and off the field, and you know, a guy you have to root for no matter where he plays. Mark Herzlick, no matter where he ends up. Guy you want, and it's kind of interesting. He is tall. I think he said he was 6'4", if I'm correct. And he kind of played on the inside, I think, at Boston College, an inside linebacker. He played Mike there. But, you know, at that height, it's possible if he can hold up against the run, he could play outside linebacker in a 3-4, you would think. I mean, that stacks up well against other guys, you know, like a Clay Matthews is about the same height. And not to say that outside linebackers can't be shorter than that. Of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers have shown that, you know, Lamar Woodley and the like can be very good players at 6'1", 6'2". So, anyhow, but just Mark Herzlick, be interesting to see where he ends up. I think he'll end up on the inside just because that's where his experience is. That's where his, you know, that's where he's played his whole life and just is used to it. So, but a good guy, and we will see where he goes. One of the things that has stuck out to me in the NFL here, at the combine, and I don't know if Colleen is listening, found in Idaho. I just know her and know she's an alum of the University of Nevada, and I'm starting to see why the University of Nevada was so good this past season. They, of course, beating Boise State, and what they do, they tie for the WAC title. But Nevada has three athletes there. I mean, I think they have four players total at the combine. You got quarterback Colin Kaepernick, got linebacker Dante Moak, you've got tight end Virgil Green, and you've got running back Vaitoa. And Vaitoa, I think, you know, he's probably, you know, the lowest rated among all of them. But, I mean, he'll probably find a job somewhere in the NFL, more than likely. But those other three, those are amazing, amazing athletes. And there's this unique feature at NFL.com, and I'm going to show it here on the broadcast player. If you haven't checked it out already, go to NFL.com/combine, and you can sort all these drills, all the things that they do. And I'll try to explain it as I show it here on the broadcast player. But if you go to NFL.com, it's this interactive feature that will show you the top workouts in the 40-yard dash, the bench press, the vertical jump, broad jump, et cetera, et cetera. And what you do is, I think the default is it shows all the positions. They're all highlighted. What you got to do is unhighlight them and then just highlight the position you want and make sure it's the proper year, 2011. And I'll click updates here, and what's going to do is you can see I hope you can see it. It's probably a little small in the broadcast player, but 40-yard dash is highlighted, and quarterback is highlighted, 2011. I'm going to press update. It's going to give us the 40-yard dashes for the quarterbacks. And we can see here the top one from the quarterbacks was Tyrod Taylor of Virginia Tech. He ran a 4.51. And number two, getting back to Nevada here, the whole reason I wanted to do this to begin with, Colin Kaepernick, number two among quarterbacks with the fastest, among the fastest 40-yard dashes with a 4.53. So, I mean, that just goes to show you how good of a quarterback Colin Kaepernick is. And, you know, beyond his speed, I think they got out the jugs machine and measured or gauged his how fast he can throw a football, and he threw it the hardest or the fastest out of anybody at the combine. So, I mean, this guy's an amazing athlete, both with his feet and with his arm. I like Colin Kaepernick. This guy, I think, could be a first-round draft choice. I've come around on him full circle. I've always thought he was a good athlete, but he always looked very thin to me. You know, he's just, you look at his legs and they are not big. They seem spindly to me. But, I mean, he's proven in his college career that he's durable. I mean, that's college, it's not the pros, but I mean, he's shown to be durable and, obviously a good athlete. Now, let's go to the tight ends. Let's take quarterbacks out of the equation. We'll click update here, and the fastest 40 times for tight ends. We got number one, Rob Housler of Florida Atlantic, ran a 4.55. Number two, Cameron from USC. And number three, Virgil Green of Nevada, ran a 4.64. So Nevada has the third fastest tight end at the combine. And then one more time here, let's get rid of the tight ends. Let's highlight defensive line. And updated again, and the number one linebacker, Dante Moak, 4.44, ran a 4.44 40. So the number one defensive lineman, and a 4.44. Look at that. That's the next closest is Chris Carter from Fresno State, who ran a 4.62. And that's almost 0.2 of a second faster. Dante Moak is a freak. And, you know, to have Kaepernick, Moak, and Green, you see why Nevada has damn good athletes. And I like all those guys. I like them. Moak, I personally, I think Moke is the real deal. If the Packers drafted him to be their outside linebacker, I probably wouldn't even question it with the 32nd pick in the first round. I know that is high for what's out there right now, mock drafts, things like that. But, I mean, you wait to the second, and you might not get him. I've watched highlight films, and maybe that's what I shouldn't be doing, watching highlight films of Dante Moke. I need to see film of him performing poorly, perhaps, to dissuade me. But he just looks so athletic, and I really think, boy, it would be fantastic to have a guy like him opposite Clay Matthews at the outside linebacker position. And I really like Kaepernick as well. I don't think, the Packers don't have a need for a quarterback, especially one in the first round, and I think he'll be gone by the time they draft in the second. And, you know, somebody's going to select Colin Kaepernick and, look at him as a starter in the future. Whether it's 2011 or not, I don't know, but amazing, amazing guys from Nevada. Couple questions here on the live blog. David says, what'd you think about J.J. Watt? Seems like a sharp guy. J.J. Watt, I stood in on his press conference. I didn't get a chance to talk to J.J. or ask him any questions, but he's a great guy. J.J. Watt is absolutely a great guy, a sharp guy, a smart guy, and I was taking a look. I think Jason Wilde of ESPN Wisconsin tweeted it, and J.J. Watt didn't have like the fastest 40 time among defensive linemen, but he was near the top end. And I suppose we can go back here again and take a look at the the feature here at NFL.com and find out. I know off the top of my head, J.J. Watt was the 15th fastest or something like that, 40 time. But everything else, he basically did pretty high end. Let's check out the bench press, how J.J. Watt of Wisconsin did here. He finished fourth among defensive linemen, 34 reps on the bench press. There he is, J.J. Watt with 34 reps. Vertical jump. As it loads here, J.J. Watt, number two in vertical jump with a 37-inch vertical. look at Dante Moke just killing everybody. He had a 42-inch vertical jump. Amazing. Okay, we'll take a look at the broad jump and where J.J. Watt is. He is third with a 10-foot vertical jump, that is the horizontal jump, the broad jump. Third. I mean, so he's like in the top three of everything except the 40-yard dash. He's second, tied for second, in the three-cone drill, 6.88, in the 20-yard dash. J.J. Watt, everything here. He's number two in the 20-yard shuttle, 4.21 20-yard shuttle. And finally here, the 60-yard shuttle. I'm sorry if this is boring to everybody listening to the podcasted version. If you're actually watching the show and watching the broadcast right now, it's kind of interactive. You can watch and we can look here on NFL.com and follow along. But the 60-yard shuttle is not coming up. But, I mean, that just goes to show you everything except the 40-yard dash. And J.J. Watt didn't have a poor 40-yard dash by any means. But, I mean, he is just a heck of an athlete, a heck of an athlete. So, it just goes to show you that he's a good athlete, and I think J.J. Watt is a first-round draft choice. I think he'll go in the top half of the first round, the top 16, somewhere, something like that. I think he can play in a 4-3 or a 3-4, and he'll be good in either one. He is a valuable guy. I mean, that's to be able to play both 3-4, 4-3, that shows you, I mean, somebody's going to take him high up there. WGB3 says, my thoughts on him were that the Jays must stand for jihadist because he blew up the combine. Oh, is that wrong? Should we say that one? Jihadist. Great, though. J.J. Watt, I mean, just an impressive in the interviews. I remember somebody asking him, because he was a tight end for a while at Central Michigan, and somebody asked him if anybody's looking at him, any teams are looking at him as a tight end at all, and he said no, nobody's looking at him as a tight end in the NFL. But he would do it, though. If asked to, he would do it. And hey, I suppose, you know, you look at B.J. Raji, and he came in for a handful of snaps on offense this year. You know, J.J. Watt could be one of those types of guys where you're on the goal line and you need an extra blocker. You bring him in as a tight end or something like that. That could be the case, certainly. I don't think he's going to be a two-way player, you know, where he's playing a lot both ways or anything like that. But J.J. Watt is good, good player. And, you know, talking about, you know, pass rushers here, you know, we talked about Dante Moak before. And, you know, I think the Packers have a need for an outside linebacker. I just don't know if the guys from they have now, Brad Jones, Eric Walden, Frank Zombo, they all seem okay, and they seem like they can all have a spot on the Packers, a roster spot. Are they a starter? I'm just not sure of that, and I think the Packers could go after somebody there, more of an impact player, because I also know in the back of my mind is like, what if all of a sudden Clay Matthews gets hurt? Like, holy cow, that would not be a good thing. I mean, can you live with Frank Zombo, Eric Walden as one linebacker when Clay Matthews is on the other side? Absolutely. Now what if Clay Matthews gets hurt? You're going to have Frank Zombo and Eric Walden, or Frank Zombo and Brad Jones as your outside linebackers? That doesn't seem like the solution to me, an equation for winning for me. So I think they have to go after somebody, find a playmaker that can possibly start opposite Clay Matthews, and hey, if he goes down, that they're still okay at that situation. Hopefully they find the right person. And you know, I'm looking at the guys from Arizona, University of Arizona Wildcats. They have three guys there that can be outside linebackers. They have Ricky Elmore, they have Brooks Reed, and they have DeAndre Reed. It's almost weird how they have three players that could all be 3-4 outside linebackers. And, you know, if you haven't read up on Brooks Reed before, he's supposedly the Clay Matthews clone. First of all, he really and truly does almost look like Clay Matthews. He has long blonde hair that flows out of his helmet. I mean, that alone. But the face, too, as well, kind of looks like Clay Matthews, which is interesting. But people just say he has real high motor and, you know, it never quit, kind of like Clay Matthews. So that's kind of interesting there. And I hope to write an article about that sometime. You know, I talked to Brooks Reed at the Combine and hope to have something on that eventually here. I've got articles to last me from now until April with content from the Combine, just like the, you know, the soundbite we played from Mark Herzlich earlier. And I was impressed with DeAndre Reed from Arizona, another guy. He's not a high-round draft choice, but he looked the part. He looked like a football player to me, just that tall kind of guy that, you know, could, and chiseled, looks good to me. Whether that means he can get it done on the field, I don't know, but he looks the part, and I think he's worth a late round draft choice for sure. David comments, if Matthews went down, Capers would have to get really creative. That is an understatement. Yes, if Matthews went down, Capers would have to get really creative. I don't know where the pass rush would come from, and especially with perhaps a Cullen Jenkins being gone too. I mean, that's really not a good situation. Darren for 12 asks, can we play all of them at one time? I suppose if just play Psycho, then all of them could play at the same time, where there's only one defensive lineman on the field and five linebackers or something like that. But it's just about 9 o'clock here, folks. Thanks for listening today here on Railbird Central. Kind of in the off season here. I don't know exactly when episodes of Railbird Central will be. They've always been on Tuesdays and Fridays, but this Friday, I'm not sure if I'll be able to get to one, doing a little traveling. And thanks for listening today. We're going to podcast this, version of the episode in case you came in late or anything like that. But thanks, folks, for joining us. It was fun. Go enjoy watching what's left of the combine today. And after today's done, get ready for the next couple days. I'll talk about the CBA as it's set to expire Thursday night, Friday morning, something like that. And after that, it's all draft talk. So have fun. Have a good day, folks, and we'll... I'll keep you updated on Twitter when the next Railbird Central will be. We will see you later.